it is. It accomplished far more than we will ever understand in this life, and it sounds counterintuitive, but it was actually Jesus' greatest triumph. It destroyed the power of death, disarmed Satan's authority, purchased our forgiveness, and so much more. And the resurrection validates the effectiveness of the cross. The cross, the resurrection, together form the foundation of our entire faith. Discredit what happened, and we have nothing. Nothing. Today we celebrate the resurrection. It was definitely supernatural. Jesus being raised to life after 3 days in a tomb, that isn't normal, is it? Now, a large number of people have had, you know, near-death experiences, statistically about 1 in 20 people, they say. One, that isn't what today is about. Nate's wife, Becca, was clinically dead for a couple years ago now. For 40 minutes, she was gone, and she should be little more than a vegetable. But obviously, she's totally functional, intelligent, gifted, and I call it an answer to prayer. But Jesus' resurrection after 3 days in a climate where bodies decompose quickly, that's a totally different critter. Remember Martha's response when Jesus said to take away the stone from Lazarus' tomb? She said, "Lord, by this time he stinks." Well, yeah, for sure, in that weather, in that climate. Matthew 28, I'm going to read from just the first five verses, or so, the first six verses, rather. And I'm in the book of Luke. Usually have a paper clip in here. That would help. After the Sabbath, which for them was a Saturday, at dawn on the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." I'd like to notice just a few words in this passage. First, the stone. We're told it was a large stone, probably something like, turn that light off just for a second. You can't see it very well. Here's the mouth of the tomb. There's this large stone right there. Something like that. Sometimes there was a slope groove with a wedge to keep the stone in place so that when the wedge was removed, it was much easier to roll the stone into place, much harder to put it back again, push it back again. And some versions omit the next phrase, but in the original, verse 2 begins, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." That word, "behold," should have an exclamation. It literally means, "Look!" Almost like, "Wow! Be amazed!" And the earthquake was powerful enough to push back the rock. Actually, it was this angel pushing back that caused the earthquake and so on. And the guard, that says, trembled out of fear for the angel, basically paralyzed with fear. I like to picture Jesus' resurrection as something where, you know, the ground trembles and it shakes and Jesus bursts forth into life again. Except, it doesn't say Jesus emerged from the tomb. The body just wasn't there. I do this little thing every year for any who are like skeptics. Few things you should consider. First, no one, including secular historians, ever disputed the fact of Jesus' existence or his crucifixion and burial. His existence, crucifixion, burial are as much a part of history as Nero, Cleopatra, Plato, any of those. And no one disputes the fact that Pilate set a quadrant of guards to secure the tomb. Now listen to this. No one even disputes the empty tomb 3 days after the crucifixion. Not the guards, not the disciples, not even the Pharisees who wanted to ensure that that body was still there. And if the stone hadn't been rolled back, who would have ever discovered that the tomb was empty? But the question is, so what happened to the body? When the stone was rolled back and the tomb was empty and his grave clothes were laid there in the tomb, what was that all about? What happened? Jesus had been mercilessly whipped, crucified, a spear thrust into his side, mummy in Eastern style, placed in a tomb that was guarded by soldiers. So how did the Pharisees, who wanted to keep that body in that tomb, make sure that it never got out, how did they explain this hugely embarrassing for them turn of events? Spread a rumor. The guards fell asleep. The disciples who had run off earlier had this inexplicable surge of courage, slipped past the guards without making a single one of them, rolled back this rotting, stinky corpse of their now dead leader. And for what purpose? What did they gain by that? Well, we've successfully stole the body of our leader. The corpse. You know, the corpse. And then all of them were willing to die martyrs' deaths to perpetuate a have known to be a myth? Yeah, I think that must be what happened, according to the Pharisees. I set before you Jesus' own words when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Are you willing to embrace Jesus as your Lord? Some of this may not make perfect sense to you, but to confess faith in Jesus' death to redeem you from your sin and bring you to and make you acceptable before a holy, holy, holy God is the crucial decision. There's no better time to settle the issue of where you stand in terms of your relationship with God. I think of the irony, you know, of many people who are willing to embrace bizarre events of the supernatural. Just look on TV, all these supernatural things. But balk at accepting Jesus' resurrection. So what is that? Now here's, I'm getting into territory that I'm not sure will really fly, but I suggest it as real nonetheless. This story also alludes to the supernatural on other levels. Besides the resurrection, which was supernatural. So here's another level of the supernatural that's often ignored by believers today. I'm talking about manifestations in the demonic realm. Scripture teaches that there is a spirit world alongside our physical world. Unseen beings in the spirit world are just as real as people who are in this physical world. And in this story, it shows up in Colossians chapter 2, where it says, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave our sins, having canceled the written code with his regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Now listen, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In our Western world, we tend to limit reality to the natural world. But have you ever experienced a darkness you could feel? A sudden shudder of something evil being present, a presence you couldn't see but you sensed was there? I've changed some of this stuff here. I got up this morning and had a sudden change of heart about what I want to share. And what I want to emphasize is that the powers of darkness were stripped of their power and disarmed by the cross, as validated by the resurrection. When Satan and his evil hordes incited religious leaders and others to crucify Jesus, Satan may have somehow thought he had won over God. Ridiculous thought. But what actually happened was that Jesus used his body, in a sense, as bait. Bait that Satan couldn't refuse. I've got him. Let's kill him. Had he finally defeated and thwarted God's purposes, then think about the resurrection. Almost satanic horde shouting, no! And what I see here in Colossians is that these powers of darkness, disarmed and utterly humiliated. I love that part. They were humiliated by the power of the cross and the resurrection. I do suggest that there are evil supernatural beings in the spirit realm that influence and come attack against people. In our Western world, we tend to limit reality to the natural, what we can see, hear, so on. We don't have to look far, you know, to see what I'm talking about. We label people crazy who hear voices telling them to do horrific things that we can't even imagine. It's demonic. The appalling attack of Hamas on innocent Israelis that September day, demonic. The insane support of college students who don't even realize what they're doing, support for Hamas, I believe it's demonic. That's why they do what they can't even explain, in a sense. It doesn't make sense on a natural level. I've seen some pretty bizarre things in that realm. But let me emphasize the fact that the powers of darkness, although real, are totally dwarfed by the power of Jesus. We sang it in songs today. At the cross, Jesus disarmed those powers and utterly humiliated them. Yet, evil spirits are real, and they invade our lives, but often in less dramatic or sensational ways, in ways that we often ignore or fail to recognize. I got a call from my cousin Lynn this past week. She was asking me to pray for her. She's had deep depression that has lasted for 6 months, and she says, Mark, it's scaring me. And the reason it's scaring her is because another cousin of ours, Doug, born-again believer who was a deacon in his church, had also suffered with debilitating depression throughout much of his life. And in an irrational moment, he committed suicide. And so I told Lynn that her depression could be a demonic attack and encouraged her to find a church that does deliverance. And interestingly, one of her friends goes to a church like that, and she also talked to Lynn about seeking deliverance, so that's what she's going to do. It's more subtle. It's not like the crazies that are out there doing crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. No, no. It's not always that kind of dramatic kind of thing. And I just find myself wondering why we ignore or deny this aspect of the supernatural. It isn't always the flamboyant stuff. It's often subtle, like Lynn's depression. In Mark chapter 9, a boy is described who was possessed by a spirit who had an epileptic seizure. Luke 13 tells of a woman crippled, listen to this, by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Jesus describes her as a woman whom Satan has kept bound these 18 long years. We would have diagnosed her as having bad. Having had epilepsy. Now hear what I am not saying. I am not saying that every ailment or disease or issue is a demonic issue. No. But I believe we should be at least open to the possibility that we can come under attack at times by the enemy in ways that are very subtle, very natural. If Jesus came under attack from the enemy, and he did, in the wilderness, on the cross. Then should we be surprised if we
functionally eliminated the spirit world from our theology and often don't recognize those attacks.
Haven't you noticed that sometimes you struggle with something and it seems like you can't quite get the victory over that, no matter what you do? You pray, you read your Bible, you do all the things that you think you ought to do, and you can't seem to get the victory.
And I believe
that sometimes we give
these beings a legal right to be there because we have opened doors
that act like an invitation to powers of darkness. A door that has not been closed. The occult, drugs, alcohol, into a particular temptation,
pornography, anger that we yield to over and over and over again until at some point supernatural empowerment
takes over.
It may not affect
the totality of your life in a sense, but in another way it does. Fear that controls my life. Every aspect of my life is controlled by fear. I can get through life with. And people will say, "Oh, he just has a fearful personality," or worry, always needing to be in control. Could that be a demon? Fantasies that intrude into my mind, and that all leads us to a third level of the supernatural that comes in this resurrection story. It's a force that we find in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is writing and he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." The parallels that God makes between Jesus and those who have put their trust in him is stunning. Jesus died. Colossians 2 says, "And we were dead in trespasses and sins." Jesus was buried.
"And we were buried with him through baptism into death." Jesus was raised from the dead. And Colossians says, "We were raised with him."
In Ephesians that God's power, that's not quite right. No, the greatness of God's power. No, that's not quite right either. The surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe is like the working of his mighty strength that he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, which suggests that the power that raised Jesus from the dead has now been released into our lives. If you are a believer in Christ, that power resides in you. Supernatural power. We have more supernatural power in our lives than we know. Cross, the resurrection, gives us power over addictions. For some, it's instant. And for others, I'm not sure quite why. It takes longer, but the power is there for us. How do I know? Recovery programs that leave God out of the picture have about an 80% recidivism rate. They fall back into their old addictions. Christian recovery programs have about an 80% success rate. Explain that. Apart from the supernatural power of God in a person's life, I'm looking at you. You've been set free by the power of God. And others in our congregation have been set free. Supernatural power of God operating in our life. We've been given authority over demonic forces. Again, we know.
Why are we shy
about using that authority? See, it doesn't fit into our theology sometimes. We have this safe thing that happens in churches, more religion than anything else. The power is somehow lacking. We don't enter into it because we don't believe in that
kind of stuff.
That's Dark Ages kind of stuff. And no, it isn't. If you'd been where I've been and seen some of the things I've seen, you'd realize it's real. But so is the name of Jesus real, and the power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons have reason to fear us rather than us being afraid of them. I stated emphatically that you have authority to speak to Satan and any demonic entity that has come and attack against you, and you can just say, leave, go. I want nothing to do with you any longer. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you that I belong to Jesus Christ. You're on foreign turf. You have spoken lies to me, but I refuse to listen to your lies any longer. In Jesus' name, be gone, and they go. They have no choice but to obey when we speak the name of Jesus. I'm merely scratching the surface here, and I don't want us to focus on demons. No, no, not at all. Focus on Jesus and his power to break the chains. Some take, I believe, this supernatural authority thing too far, go around thinking they can command this to happen, that to happen, you know, and it's like they think they have lightning coming out of their fingertips. And all I'm suggesting here today is that, if I can find my notes, is that the cross and the resurrection reveal the supernatural on levels we miss if we live as though this is all there is. Probably won't be able to see. Well, you can.
Charge the electromagnetic spectrum, and I won't try to explain that to you. But here's the
part that we can see right here.
There's a line.
This is what we can see. Now, this, and then over here, this is the part that we can hear. But if you go on this side, that goes to infinity and beyond.
You can go as far as you want to in that direction.
And then
on the other side of that line, on that side, to infinity and beyond on another level. How odd to think that this tiny thread that we can see and hear
finds the totality of reality. How bizarre is that? I only believe what I can see. I only believe what I can hear. I only believe
things in this life, the material world. That is so bizarre. We know that's not
true.
The resurrection has revealed the supernatural. In Jesus' resurrection, in the dark spirit realm, and the supernatural power given to us
as believers. I'm not going to go where I had thought about going here, but I just want to say this. Slam those doors shut. We've been given authority. You can take authority over things in your life that are holding you back because you've shut it out. It's not part of your theology. You don't want to believe that. And I'm saying if you do believe it, but you believe that the power of Jesus is far much greater than that, then you can gain victory in certain areas that have plagued you maybe all your life. I'll give you just one example about 25 maybe so years ago. I don't remember what the date was.
All the poor kids
were still living at home. But I went through a phase where I just felt like, what am I even doing in ministry? What am I accomplishing here? I felt like my life was worthless. I felt like I had very little value, nothing to offer. And I thought, if I were to die, life would go on, well, without me. My family would miss me. A few other people would miss me. But, you know, and this is just this dark, heavy thing had come over me. And I lived with that for a number of weeks. One night I was sitting in the living room. Everybody else had gone to bed. I'm a late night person. And all of a sudden it dawned on me where this was coming from. So I went out into the garage where nobody could hear me. And I said, God, I'm affirming to you that I am a person of worth. I have been created in the image of God. I have value. I have purpose. And I affirm that to myself because I have been questioning that. I have been doubting that. And Satan, I affirm it to you that I am made in the image of God. I am being recreated into the image of Jesus. You've been speaking lies into my mind, into my thoughts, and I refuse to listen to your lies any longer. In Jesus' name, be gone. I thought that would change things over the next couple of days, but the truth is, when I walked into the living room again, it was gone. Instantly. I believe there is power in the name Jesus. The demonic forces are there. But it's kind of like, you know, you think of this little to the sun or in relation to the cosmos. Satan and all of his evil hordes, you know, they have power, yes, but they're dwarfed by the almighty power of God and the name Jesus. Amen. That took place on the cross and confirmed by the resurrection. So I close with one solitary statement. Ignore, if you will, the somewhat radical thoughts I've shared today, but please don't miss this part. Jesus' death and all it accomplished is real. The resurrection, real. They have opened the door to a relationship with God through faith in Jesus' sacrifice for us. Please don't leave this building without knowing and having the certainty of knowing that you are ready to enter his presence when it is your time. And as believers, recognize all that God has entrusted to you and placed in you, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. Let's pray. Well, Lord, only you know whether this has accomplished what you intend, but I have declared my dependence on the Holy Spirit. So I pray that you will bring to life that which will be helpful to us in our relationship with you, and give us victory over these foul spirits that sometimes we have inadvertently opened the door to because we just shut out that dimension from our thinking. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just accomplish everything that you intend, and we give you thanks for the truth of your word that exposes the lies. And it's the lies that give the enemy power over us. We refuse those lies. We want to build our thinking, our thoughts, our whole life around the truth that you've presented in your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song that was, well, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. I think it's a great song. And as believers, Lord, we get to enjoy it and just. And I pray that as we leave this building, that the truth of the resurrection, the powerful things that took place at the cross will resonate in our spirits and stay with us, and that we will share this truth with those that are around us. Let them see the light of Jesus coming forth from our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to glorify your name in and through us this week. His name. Amen.